Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Your current pinned tweet, Mark, is one where Kobe was seeking you out in the hallways of Staples Center during his jersey retirement night. How much did that mean to you personally that he was looking for you?
Man, it's just surreal to think that's an old memory now. That can never be duplicated. I had moments with him that were really special because, you know, I was once told by an NBA exec, you know, don't expect a NBA player to ever hug you back. You know what I mean? Like, but Kobe Bryant would always hug you back once he got to know you. He was a star, and Ray knows this, that we always ask those guys questions, but he was one of the few that asked us questions back. That once he got to know you, he remembered things about you and cared about you as a person. And, you know, his last game at Oracle, I remember him asking me to go into the training room, and we had a conversation about not only the end of his career, but he was asking me about my life. And when I got the job at the Undefeated, I sent him an email, and he sent back, man, congratulations, keep telling stories the way you're telling your stories, and be yourself, and like coaching me. And so, you know, every moment with him wasn't, you know, dancing and lollipops. You know, he was a tough guy, and he didn't like all my questions. He joked with me one time, said, man, you always asking them Dr. Seuss-ass questions, because I try to be introspective. But I always had some fun times with him. He called me Big Spears. And I just never met an NBA player that respected his role as a star, that was that competitive, that had something prepared for his post-career 5 years before, that knew what was going on in the world, that seemed like he had a master's degree, even though he didn't have a bachelor's degree. He was just unique, beautiful, amazing, brilliant person. And, like, I haven't even reflected much on him as a basketball player. I'm more been reflecting on him as a man.
Of all the interplay with reporters that he ever had, none were more contentious for a long time than those he had with Shelly Smith, because she covered the sexual assault case in Denver, and he clearly was not happy with that. But she tells the story about when she was diagnosed with cancer. He came up to her and basically 12 years of bad blood just got wiped off the board. Were you surprised by that at the time, given how monomaniacal he could be? Or did you see that as part of him either sort of coming out of that sort of inner directed shell and becoming sort of more of a global looking human?
Well, I first met Kobe his rookie year in 96. I was a Cub reporter at the LA Daily News, primarily covering the Angels. But when they made the playoffs, I got to spend some time with him. And he was 18, man. He was just young, got married really early, was a star in a city that was bigger than anything in the world, and playing with grown men who didn't have time for him. And so I think he probably had to grow up too fast, was presented with a lot of things that were probably too heavy, and wasn't the easiest to deal with. So I think we saw him grow out of his teenage realm to his young man realm to his married realm to his adult fatherhood. Like, there's evolutions. He had a public life. So I think we saw the evolution, and the Kobe I first remembered, and the Kobe in the early 2000s, and the Kobe I last remembered were all different people.
When you think about this sort of latest act in his life, I know just as a kid who grew up watching Michael Jordan, the way Kobe was able to transition into post-career and really be a different kind of person and have people reflect on how kind he was and how generous with his time and stuff like that. Was that as surprising to you watching him closely as it was to those of us who were further away?
No, man, he had all kind of stuff going on. It was amazing that he was so focused to be on the floor. I don't know that he really even slept much. You know, he just was always looking for the next competition, the next challenge. I mean, what he got, the Academy Award? I mess them all up, but he got that, 2 years after playing? He also, one thing that nobody's really mentioned is there's this book series that he came out with called the Wizard Series Training Camp, and it was written by a guy named Wesley King, and, you know, it's Kobe's youth-oriented series featuring characters of different races and backgrounds. So he gave me a quote, which I'll read to you. He said, because I asked him about having mixed-race characters in the book, and he said, there wasn't a doubt in my mind that the characters would be children of color, mixed race, because that's what I have at home, and that's what I grew up with. But in the industry itself, it's very hard to find that, very, very hard to find that, because we tend to, the general argument is, well, they can't appeal to the masses. And so he was also looking about race. He was looking about culture. He had some quotes recently about what women basketball players could play in the NBA, and perhaps through his daughter became a even bigger fan of women's sports. And he's long been a fan of women's sports, but, you know, women's basketball in particular. He just was just always thinking outside the box on a different plane that, you know, most people weren't hip to. He was always two steps ahead of everybody.
Mark Spears joining us here on 95.7 The Game with reflections of the passing of Kobe Bryant and, like we said, eight other souls that perished in that helicopter crash with his daughter. How well, if at all, did you get to know Vanessa, who just, I mean, I don't know Vanessa Bryant. Yeah.
I didn't. No, I mean, it was private, you know. There wasn't any interaction there. Had I seen her in the hallway? Have I seen her at games? Yeah, but I never got an opportunity to meet her, and he, I think, respectfully kept that side of his life pretty private.
Well, then let me ask you about someone who you do know well, and Jeannie Buss, and what she must be going through today. We got the word that tomorrow's night's game, which I thought was going to be the largest basketball funeral ever played, has been postponed by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Good. I talked to one of their employees today, who I'm not going to name, but he had to pull over because he was crying. People have to realize that this is bigger than basketball, man. This is people that have worked with somebody for 20 years. I know he's been retired for a couple years, but he impacted a whole franchise, and it's deeper than the players. It's deeper than the coaches and the coaching staff. It's a whole family. It's a whole Lakers family. And so you're going to ask all these grieving people who have grieving counselors and stuff, grief counselors and everything, suddenly show up to work tomorrow and put on a smiley face and welcome to the Staples Center and let's play a game. I actually tweeted about it earlier. I think it would have been awful to trot those guys out there and tell them to play. You saw LeBron's emotions yesterday. I know Phil Handy, who's from the Bay, is really, really close with Kobe. He's devastated. I mean, the long list of people were devastated. So by having the game, like, it's the Lakers Clippers. You could reschedule it. If Staples don't have a date, which they will, shoot, move it somewhere else. Play it at Pauly. I don't care. Play it at the Old Forum. This is much bigger than that. And it gives both teams a couple days. The Clippers don't have to play again until Thursday. The Lakers, thank God, their schedule is such where they don't have to play again until Friday. So it gives them a couple days to take a deep breath, grieve, relax their mind. And I believe probably come Thursday, it'd be a lot easier for LeBron and company to talk about the passing of their friend.
Was there, of all the sort of transitions that Kobe Bryant made, at least during his public life, which one do you think was the most difficult for him? Was it going from teenager to team leader, sort of team leader to league icon? Was it, you know, career to post-career? What was the one that you think was the most challenging transition for him to make?
I think probably the end, because when you're that great, you're used to having a cape and doing Superman things, and he couldn't anymore. I mentioned that last game at Oracle, he had 8 points. That's not a Kobe Bryant game, that, you know. And I remember Michael Jordan at the end, seeing him in a Wizards uniform. Ray, when's the last time we've seen Michael Jordan Wizards highlights?
Was there one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pinned Ron Mercer to the backboard one time. But
yeah, they like, you know, burned all the tape. I remember Vashawn Leonard, who couldn't jump higher than me right now, blocking a shot and standing over him. And I feared that Kobe could end his career that way. And he did have a 60-point game. But, you know, transitioning after the Achilles to being an older player, it was kind of rough to see at the end. And I think he finally realized, okay, man, it's time to go. My body's failing me. But I got some greatness to come, which is super, man, adds to the sadness of this, because the brilliance that we would have seen for many years to come, I think he had so much more to give than he already gave on the floor.
Mark Spears.